Think about what we want today. What do we want to get out of being here today? Did we really come looking for the Lord to speak to our hearts? Did we come looking for something to change in our life? Are we looking for something that will make us fulfilled in life? Well, we've come to the right place, because His Word is alive and working. This morning on the way to church, Wanda started singing a song. And I said, well, that's what my message is about right there. And she sung on, and I said, well, that's pretty good. That must have confirmed what I was wanting to do, wasn't it? I want you to take your Bible. I'm going to go to a few places today in the Scriptures. But I've got one springboard I want to jump on and see if we can't spring off of this for some word of the Lord. Let's stand. Mark chapter 1, verse number 16 is where we will begin. The Bible says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little way further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. I want to speak about following me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the Word of God. How you have protected the Word of God for us. Forever is your Word settled in heaven. We can debate it. We can change it. We can do whatever it is that man would have to do to move the Bible out of the mainstream of life. But Lord, we know that your Word is always true. It will never change because you are truth and you can only speak truth. So, Lord, we depend upon you to guard our hearts, to guard our lives, so that we might serve you, Lord. Help us to follow you. Help us to be obedient in our life. Help us, Lord, together as we serve. And, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd anoint me. Oh, how I need an anointing this morning. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit would engulf me. I pray He would fill me. I pray He would speak through me. Lord, because if He does not speak through me, Lord, I've got nothing to say. But I pray the Holy Spirit would give me boldness to speak truth. Not what I think, not what the world thinks, but what you think. May it challenge our hearts today in everything that we do. In Christ's holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Just a little introduction. Let me ask you a question. How well have you followed Him? How long has it been since you decided that you believed the truth of the gospel and confessed that He was Lord? How long has it been since that happened in your life? And let me ask, are you walking with Him now? Is your day dependent upon Him? Is your decisions dependent upon Him? See, that's where we need to be. And I can look around in the world and you see so many things happening. So many things happening even within churches, where the gospel is being twisted and turned, where things are not being held to the standard that the Word of God should be held to. Because the Bible is clear on this thing, that heaven and earth can pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Not one dot, not one tittle will pass away, and His Word is true and everlasting. So you don't have to change something when you're absolutely perfect in truth. when you don't have to change something whenever what you say you know will come about because it's truth. And that's how God is. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came for one purpose, and that was to make himself known to man and to die on the cross for those men's sin. He was to walk on this earth and do what God said he was to. He healed those that were sick. He gave sight to those that were blind. Those that were lame, he made to walk. Those that were dead, Lazarus, he rose him from the dead. He done marvelous things. But the greatest thing he done was on Calvary Cross. And the greatest thing he does today is to call us to Calvary. See, without Calvary, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we have to understand when he calls us, there's a purpose in our life. He don't call us and leave us here for nothing. If all he was wanting to do was to save us so we could go to heaven, then he would save us and carry us to heaven. But he wants us to make an impact in this world right now where we at. No matter who we are, if we belong to him, we should be making an impact in this world for his glory. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves living out our lives on our own thoughts and our own decisions and never taking time to ask him what it is he wants for us to do. See, because following him is not easy. I like what the scripture said here. He says that they told him to follow him. It says here, Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. When I read that thing, it sort of popped in my mind something. We're not qualified yet. We are not total fishermen. I heard somebody say one time, fishing, you know, I can go fishing. And I'm like my dad was. My dad go fishing, me and him would go fishing, which was very seldom. He'd cast a line in, and if one didn't bite within a half a minute, he was rolling up the poles, we were going home. They're not biting today, son. So I can say my dad did not love fishing. Same way, now listen, same way with sharing the gospel. We might share the gospel with someone, and they're not interested at all. But that don't change the fact that it's not our responsibility to at least dabble in the pond to see if we can catch a fish. But in order to do that, we must learn to love the fish. Now Jesus said here, if you'll follow me, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to give you a new purpose in life. I'm going to give you something that will fill you with the joy of the Lord. I believe that when we are there, when someone trusts Christ, I don't know of a thing that is more joyful than to hear that person say, I think I will trust him. I think I believe. And they call on his name and ask for forgiveness. There's nothing like that. And you know, Christians miss that opportunity a lot of times because we're not really following him. We have not become fishers of men. We have become church members. There's a difference in being a church member and being a fisher of men. A big difference in that. But God's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. And I can tell you, it takes something to follow Jesus. Although it don't cost us a penny, it costs us our lives. Because we have to surrender ourselves to him. Now, are you going to be perfect? No. Nobody is going to be perfect. I can tell you that right now. You will make some mistakes in life. But our goal should be to walk with him every moment that we're walking with him, that we're walking in truth. And our goal in life is to share the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Because there is no name greater than that. Matter of fact, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. And this is going to be to the glory of the Father. Everybody, think about that. Those that have rejected him, those that hate him, those that are trying to do it as if there is no God. Every tongue, the Bible says, will confess him. So it is our duty. He has given this to the church. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He's given that to us, said, go and win, baptize and teach. That's what he says, daily version. So that's what we're supposed to be focused on. Word of God, sharing the gospel, being what he would have us to be. He said, listen, guys, if you'll come follow me, I'm going to change your life. And it is a massive change of life. Anyone who has been in sin, and I know all of us have because we're born in sin. Maybe some have done worse things in life than others. But when we come to know him, man, what a relief that is. So there's some things I want to share with you about following him that I think is important for a Christian. This morning when you got up, you know, when I woke up this morning late, it was about 10 minutes to 5, and I got up, and the only thing I could think of was I need to get downstairs, and I got to get in the Word. I've got to get myself prepared for today. So I made my way downstairs, and I took my Bibles, and I took my little pad, and I went to work on it because I wanted to make sure that when I deliver the message, it's something that God wants delivered, and I believe he wants us to follow him. And I don't mean just once in a while. I mean follow him. Give him our lives completely. We should start every day out on the Word of God. But let me tell you something we've got to do more than anything else. We've got to get rid of that thought that I'm in control. We need to get rid of that thought that I can do it myself. We need to get rid of that kind of thinking. And what we need to look at and what we need to think about is there's only one that matters. So if there's only one that matters, what I need to do is I need to put my life in his hands and look for the direction that he sends me and there do what is possible that I can do. God will put things in your life and in your path that will surprise you because he's got something for you to do. We've got to learn to depend on him. First of all, dependence is what we need. Now, I depend on Wanda for everything. She's my go-to girl. She knows how to do everything that I need to do because this brain right here, she remembers things that I don't remember. And it's getting even worse than that now. But I depend on her. And I know she feels like I probably take advantage of her, take her for granted a lot of times because she's there. And she has always been there for me, no matter what. So I have depended on her. But for my life and my eternal destiny, I have to take my dependence and put it on him. The Bible says in John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. Have you ever had to have something taken away? You know, sometimes to make a tree or a vine, the grapes grow, they have to be trimmed back. If you don't, they grow out and they don't bear much fruit. They get where they don't bear any fruit. And that's the way we are. Jesus said, he is the vine. And the Father is the one who's dressing it, who's taking care of it. And here he says, now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. This is a joint venture that we're in. We're not in it by ourselves. We're not in it with just the folks that are here. We are in it with the God who created everything. Can you just imagine that? The God who said, let there be stars, who said, let there be light, who made the planets, who made the... Can you imagine that God, who is so mighty and great, lives in our very being? if we had trusted him, he lives in our very being. How much more do we need? What else do we need to depend upon? Jesus said, I'm the vine. Stay plugged in. Come to me. He said, I will give you rest. And you know the rest he talks about is not the rest like I'm tired of working and I sit down to rest. I do a lot of that now. I used to go hard, wide open all the time, but now I sort of like to sit down in that chair and pull that handle and let my feet go up. You know what I mean? I like to rest a little bit. But that's not the kind of rest that the Bible's talking about here. It's because men search for everything to fulfill that emptiness that's within our heart that was created when Adam fell. And man has looked for century after century after century to fulfill that emptiness with something. And they've chosen everything but him. Just imagine if he is living with us and in us, how in the world can we go wrong by following him? Being plugged into him, getting our strength from him, our guidance from him, that's what he really wants. He wants to walk with us and show us what it is to be faithful. He was faithful to the Father. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I've never said one thing that I haven't heard the Father say. I've not done one thing that I haven't seen him do. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here Jesus wants us to be filled with wisdom. Wisdom. Paul prayed that the people would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. James said, if you don't know how, if you don't know something, if you like wisdom in some area, just ask him. Go to him and ask him. And he will give to us abundantly whatever it is that we are seeking for him to answer for us. I know he done that the first time for me 40 years ago. When I was struggling with the scriptures, and I began to pray, God, show me the truth. If this is the truth, show me the truth. And he opened my eyes that I could see. See, because he wants us to understand. He don't ask us to be ignorant in our faith. He don't ask us to think that it's just something that's a fairy tale. He wants us to understand this is something that is going to happen eternally. And he wants us to have that joy. He wants us to be fulfilled. But it has to take, we have to hold on to that vine, be plugged into him, he in us, and we can absolutely find strength in what we do. Then we have to listen to him. If we're going to depend on him, we've got to listen to what he has to say, right? And how do we know what he says if we don't read the Bible? Me and Billy was talking this week, Billy Taylor. He's been called full-time to a church there in Louisiana. And we were talking. And he said, you know, the one thing that I can't understand is nobody will read the Bible. I said, well, let me tell you what to do. Because people's going to do what they want to do. Did you know that? People do exactly what they want to do. They say, I can't do this, but they do that. I said, Billy, just take the scriptures and you take a book of the Bible. And you put in that Bible, in your bulletin or whatever, you put a reading part, 5 days of it. You take five chapters and you have them read it 5 days a week. I said, because when they do that, they will remember the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will put it in us where we can use that. He feeds us with the Word of God. And with his presence. But if we don't do that, I said, Billy, do try that. He said, well, let me tell you this. He said, I've been working the past 3 years on a Bible. I thought, that's a wonderful thing. He said, I bought me a Bible with the wide margins. He said, and I'm writing things down that God's done in my life, and I've done it now for 3 years. He said, I'm almost finished. When I finish that, I'm going to take my Bible and give it to my grandson so he can see how God was faithful to me and so that he can grow and put in more than what I've been able to put in more. I said, Billy, that is wonderful. Man, I've never even heard of such a thing. But see, the idea is this. We must know the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, we are easily deceived. We are easily deceived. Because the devil's got somebody out there that will love to mess you up. And he's always pursuing. Then not only do we need to be dependent on him, we have to be willing to risk it all. I guarantee you this. When you come to know Jesus, when I did, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of friends when I come to know Jesus. Because they did not want to hang around with somebody that had lost their mind. And so the people I run with, things had to change. I couldn't do the things I used to do. But God said to follow him. I remember before I went full-time into the ministry, my boss man in a big meeting said, I want to learn who you are. Tell me what you like to do. What's your favorite thing to do? And he got to me. Everybody else said what they would like to do. He got to me. I said, well, what I'd like to do more than anything else is preach the Word of God. I love doing that. He said, what about you now? What do you like to do? Listen, you have to take that risk. You have to step out. In Luke 9, 23, this is, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Isn't that something? We stand that chance if we do not deny this world. That means deny our desires, our wants. And sometimes we have to even our needs so we can help someone else that is hurting. We need to be active in that, looking and seeing where I can help someone out. Where can I give of myself? And it takes something. Serving God is not always easy. It's not always convenient. Sometimes you have to go when you don't want to go. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want to stay home, but you know you need to go, and you go. And God rewards you. Now it's been hard this past year to go because nobody lets you in the house. And you don't want to be in anybody's house because you're afraid to get COVID. But God's opening up some opportunities for us. And probably some of you sitting in here this week have seen some opportunities. And I hope you took it. I hope that you were willing to deny yourself and go after him. See, that's what it takes. God, I don't care what I was wanting. Now I give myself to you. And I guarantee you this. He will walk with you. He will lead you. He will guide you. But we just have to take up that cross. Take up our cross. What in the world does that mean? To take up our cross. There's some things that we lay our life on that it has no value to us at all. All of us have opportunity. All of us has to give up of ourselves, and we have to take whatever burden that we are bearing, whatever burden of a load that we can carry, and take it to the Lord. He said, if you don't do that, if you don't depend on me, if you don't do everything that you can, He said, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And that just sounds hard, doesn't it? I think what he's saying here is that he just wants us to be loyal to him. Have you ever noticed how pets are wonderful, aren't they? We don't have any pets now because we're not home enough to have a pet. We used to have three dogs, and they were just fine animals. You know what I mean? But they were so loyal to you. I don't care what happened to them, what was going on, they would always come to you. And the way it is, that's how God wants us to be loyal to him, to be loyal to his church, to be loyal to others. Because, see, the church is the influence. It's not the building that's the influence. It's the people that's the influence. We are the ones that the world sees as the church. Now, let me ask you this. If the church is the bride of Christ, what kind of bride are we being? Are we loyal to him? The Bible says in Luke 14, and there went a multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now listen, this is hard stuff. What does he mean? You got to hate your mother, hate your father. Well, you need to love God more than anything that there is. Their language did not have a word other than love or hate. That's how they described it. There was no minor love or like or things like we use. We use several words for that. But there was just that one word. We got to love him more than we love anything. And a lot of you have loved him enough well, I say a lot. Some have loved him enough that their family rejected him. Turned him away. Said, you're not part of our family anymore. I have some people that I know that the same thing happened to them because they trusted Christ. And when they trusted Christ, they made him dead. No longer did he exist to him. He gave up everything. You know why? Because he believed the gospel. And he followed Christ. Loyalty is just this. And I know all you military guys in here know this. Simplify, what does that mean? Always faithful. Always faithful. And it is embedded in every Marine's brain. It will not leave. It's there for life. It's drilled into us. You must be faithful. And that's what God wants out of us. Always. He don't want us to be led astray by something of this world. He wants us to stay loyal to him alone. And you know, it seems strange, but it is a little easy sometimes to get led astray. We think that we're doing what is right. Like Peter. Remember Peter went to Jesus when Jesus was being dead? He said, get behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan. And Peter was the one that he said was he was going to make it the rock of the church. Carry the message. So, we have to be loyal in everything. That means loyal in my life, loyal in my giving, loyal in my service, loyal in my sharing, loyal in my help and hands. Just five things that will change our lives completely. Then the last thing we need is to imitate, be an imitator. We need to look like him, think like him, smell like him. Y'all heard me say that a lot. We have to do and live our life in a way that people will look at us and see Jesus. They don't look at us and see the world. Now, that's not easy to do because we live in a fallen world. And we're as tempted as anybody else is of the things of the world. But if we will just follow him, be loyal to him, and imitate what he done. See, that's what he done when he was here. He said, everything I've done, I've seen the Father do. So we need someone that will do that in our own lives. In John 13:14, he says this, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." What are some of the things he done? What has he done? Well, he's redeemed mankind, but he depended on the Father in everything that he done. He put himself at risk. Jesus, from the very beginning, knew he would come to this world to die on the cross. He never tried to rid that destiny. Matter of fact, whenever he said, "We're going to go up to Jerusalem, and there they're going to turn me over, they're going to crucify me." And they said, "Oh, no, they ain't going to crucify you. We're not going to let that happen." He never wavered. He knew the glory of the cross was more glorious than the suffering. And he was willing to do that. He served others with everything that he'd done. He was obedient in everything that he'd done. He was understanding. He was loving. He was compassionate. He cared. He shared. And he died for us. Simple as it can be, God has done some great things. And if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to be dependent upon him. We're going to have to be loyal to him. We're going to have to act like him, look like him, think like him. God has us as his people. I said this before. God created us in his image. And he did that so that we could bear the image of him in this world. I'm not talking about the way we look. I'm talking about righteousness, godliness, holiness. That's why he created us, so that he might have fellowship with us. So this morning, let me ask you, are you completely dependent upon him? That's hard to say, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's hard to say because it's hard to completely, in everything you do, depend upon him. Have you ever taken a risk? I took a risk. You take a risk. It's not easy, but we need to be loyal. We need to be faithful. We need to make sure that we are doing like Jesus did. We are to imitate him as much as possible as we can. Is that the way you describe your life? That you are doing those things? I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. But you know whether you are or not. I know whether I am or not. And I can tell you this, we all need work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I pray that this message this morning about being faithful and following you, Lord, I know it's not easy. I know there's a challenge in everything that we do. But we are grateful to you that you have given us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who leads us and guides us. Lord, I pray that you would help us walk the way that you would have us to walk. Help us be, Lord, faithful. Help us be witnesses, Lord. May we look at others and see them and love them, care for them, no matter who they are. Lord, may we be the light of Christ here in this world. We ask these things for your glory. And Lord, if there's one here that would say that there's an area in my life where I need to submit, I need to be more faithful in, I pray they'd come today and ask you to meet that need. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.